Chapter 29, The Art of Giving 2023. The Art of Giving 2023. How do you give? What do you give? What has God given to you? What have you given to God? Is it yourself, your money, time, experience? For all that you have been given, how do you give back? And now the better question, did you give? Have you tried? If so, good news. Right. Ask him how you're doing. Hey, how's it going? How am I doing? If not, let's begin on what to do by noting what not to do. Well, there's a lot of things not to do, but I like this one. Luke 18, 11, 14. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Why, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I can safely say in that scripture, the tax collector is still giving today. He's still giving today simply by the telling of his story through 1,000 years of time. It's clear time is an asset that can be given, as is intention, heart, and sincerity. Time is an asset. Intention is an asset. Heart, sincerity, money is an asset, sure. How do we give money? Do we boast? Do we hide because we're embarrassed by what we don't give? Are we stingy or a braggart? Do we pray and ask for direction? Do we pray until God sees it our way? Or do we pray and seriously listen for the discernment of the Holy Spirit on this matter and all others as well? Our business is turned around. Come on. All of us are good. Lives turned around. Families now safe. Where's our attitude? Are we in a better place? A godly place? A big question. Do we act like it? You know, I've seen it both ways. Many times people forget that God was standing right there in a very terrible time, holding lives together, digging me out, you, families, bringing qualified people to a situation. Qualified people he brought to save you and me. Emergency miracle people. And they were there one day at a time for months, years, helping navigate the most devastating, catastrophic moments of your life, my life. How do I give back to that? How do you give to God for what has been done? First off, it's impossible. It's impossible. But the least I can do is try to follow the scripture, the word, the example of Jesus. Can I get that right? Not really. Not really, but I can try. The least I can do is try. Use the blessings given to you. Use them. Business, income, safety, peace of mind, everything. People, places, and things. Use it for the glory of God. Or do you use a little for God and a little for me? You know that one? A little for God and a little for me. We just talk about that on the list. If you do the list God gave you, you can get it done. If you do a little of the list that God gave you and a little of the gift that you want, if you put the list together with God, you'll be able to get it done in a day. If you put the list together with God and then add what you want, you'll go out of your mind. You'll go out of your mind. A little for God and a little for me, you'll go out of your mind. Maybe even take a little bit of the credit for the impossible change that came into your life. Maybe take a little bit of the credit here and there, right? Now you are who? Who are you? Are you a new creation in Christ, or did you have a hand in it? We all go through this stuff, man. We all go through it. I go through it. We go through it every day. Possibly a bit of the Pharisee in Scripture and the tax collector. We all go through it. A little sparkle may come off of your holy front tooth as you graciously smile towards heaven? Look, I know this is an exaggeration, but you get the point. The question is, where is your heart? For all that you have and you've been given, where is your heart? Having made it, well, you make it one day at a time, right? But today's okay. You're okay today. When you're okay, do you let go of the people that got you there? Did you hear John say some of these people he's known for years? He's known me for years. You let go of the people that got you there. After you get there, you start thinking, hey, you know, I could make their money too, you know. I don't know if I need to put up with Bob. I don't know if I need to put up with him anymore, you know. Do you let go of the principles that got you here? Do you get back to number one and begin entertaining what you want rather than what you need? What you want instead of what you need. Do you know more than some? Or did you notice that you know more than most? When I get like that, I'm on thin ice. It's a slippery slope. Hey, it happens. It does. It happens. It's part of the experience of growing up. Sometimes it's just in your head, but sometimes it happens for real. You start acting on these crazy thoughts. The memory of catastrophic failure, free fall, and the origin of failure, it's just a distant memory, isn't it? Just kind of forget about it for today or maybe from now on for a little while. How in the heck can God use me if I forget what he did for me? Who he put in my life to help guide me? How can he use me if I forget what he did? How can I pay it forward if I go back to the past? How can I graciously and wonderfully and lovingly tell my story if I've forgotten it? 2 Corinthians 12:9. When I was in trouble, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians. My weakness. I find the power of God in my weakness poured out upon me. Why me? Do I deserve it? No, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Why? Why did he secure me and protect me and all that is dear to me? Why? Because he loves me. Grace. Why does he love me? I don't know, man, and I don't care. I always feel like somebody's going to come in a second and say, are you sure you do know that you're really not Patrick, right? You really do know that. There's been a syntax error here. God really likes another guy named Patrick. I feel like that all the time. Don't we feel fraudulent for all the love that he's given us? And then suddenly we become stingy about it, right? Remember the old joke about the guy at lost at sea? His boat having sunk, he's stuck out in sea. Can't see any land around him, and he promises God, I promise God a long list of items that he'll do if the Lord will save his life. I promise you, God, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll give to the poor. I'll do all those things. And as he begins to swim, suddenly he sees land. And the closer he gets to land, the less he promises on the list. Until finally, as he actually begins arriving on the beach, the list has a lot of, well, I'll give you my best effort promises, and maybe if I have time phraseology. Oh, we all get like that, don't we? When I needed God, he was there. And then my promises, my intention, my realization, it must not fade, because if it fades, brothers, sisters, I fade with it. I can't outgive God. I can't, but I got to keep trying. I can, in his grace, in his mercy, in his wisdom, knowledge, I can have a brilliant, obedient, and loving way to work for God and be a cheerful giver. How? How do you do that? Well, I can only tell you what I did. I asked Jesus to put me in, coach. Show my heart what to do, even when it's broken. Show me what to do. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the guy you ask. What do I do? Ask him. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Ask him. Do we have examples? Yeah, there's wonderful, quiet individuals that do the financing of God's church behind the curtain, behind the scenes, under the radar, busy about the Lord's work, the great commission as Jesus has given to tell the gospel, take care of the church where people come to learn God's word. You may find them setting up chairs on Sunday morning. Wednesday midweek, they may be on a greeting committee or walking the halls of a church as a security team member. For those strong enough to bash it out on the worship team, leading people to worship the Lord in song, a very challenging position you can't really understand unless you have experienced worship leader or possibly corporate president. Same thing, right? Owner of company. The attacks are relentless, as is the prayer team. Prayer team on a church, both ministries in constant intercession for the challenges facing believers in the world today. Satan hates those ministries, and he causes division, dissension, broken hearts, disappointment, so on and so on and so on. Satan is fierce in these areas of the church. Fierce. Giving is a lot of work. Chapter 29, the art of giving, it's a lot of work. Gifting of yourself, your talents, money, all of it done with elegance and humility in your life across the board. It's a commitment every day, all day, from now on. A life, I might add, that I wouldn't have without God's hand. You wouldn't have anything without God's hand. Where would I be without God's hand this morning? Where would I be? The course I was on would certainly not lead me here with you. Where is my heart when I realize what Jesus has really accomplished in me? The impossible. Where is my heart? Where's my heart when those around me criticize and rebuke my Jesus? Where am I? Where's my heart? Am I sad for them? Do I pray for them? Or do I hide what I believe? Am I embarrassed? Or am I obedient? Do I understand that only by reading the book every day can I learn to have eyes that see and ears to hear? Do I accept that? Do I do it? Do I remember and give thanks every day in prayer? Thank you for my health. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my job. And I pray for each and every one on the list today that I have the ability to say and do what needs to be done in God's will, not mine. Do I have that? Well, not all the time. I got to try. I got to ask. I can't do it without him. Psalm 138. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased strength within me. Oh, come on. Bring it home, right? Come on. I say again, is it always about money? No, it's not always about money. Money's in on it. Money is the kind of a reflection of what God has done in your life. He gives you money so that you can have peace of mind and survive. It's not about money, property, and prestige. It's about people, places, and things. However, if I make it about money, then money becomes my false god, doesn't it? Get it? If it's always about the measurement of money, then it is about money. And God becomes a line item on the balance sheet? Come on. Till somebody points it out to you, you kind of don't notice you're doing that. Quit it. I got to quit it when that happens to me. Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. What about the helpers God gave you? How have you respected them? Reinvested in those relationships, employees, family, professionals that stayed the course with you. One might say, Well, yeah, I have. You know, I respected them, but I mean, not as much as I should. Or if you say something like, well, that was a service, and they were paid for it. They got paid. They did something for me. I mean, yeah, it was God, but I mean, I believe in God. I mean, I'm a good person, but, you know, now it's time for me to take care of myself. I've heard enough of the fire and brimstone. I'm be grateful, do this, do that. I think it's time to cut the cord, get back to business, you know? God helps those who help themselves, you know? When you start talking like that, it's already too late. I'll say it again, man. Listen to me. When you talk like that, it's already too late. Desperately make your way back. Malachi 3:9, you are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven, of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Who is the Lord of heaven's armies? Jesus. Well, so it is about money. Do you know what kind of headspace you got to be in to be a cheerful giver? Everything has to be in order before you can say, hey, I get to do this for God. I get to do it for God. Everything's got to be in order before you can do that. Come on. It's not about money. It's about everything else. Money's in it, but you can't give money to the church. You can't be nice to people. You can't forgive people. You can't do anything unless your head is in the right place. And the only place my head can be in the right place is in that book. Even in prayer, I got to tell him, I'm not praying good this morning. I'm not praying good in this season. I don't know what to pray except your will be done. So who do we have as an example of this art of giving? Come on, the art of giving. I'm supposed to look cool when I'm doing it? Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to look cool when you're doing it. Well, how do you look cool? I'm going to give you an example of somebody that had nothing that looks cool. Who's an example in the book? Who exemplifies an honorable walk without any worldly assets, still looking cool? Is there an actual person we can use as an example out of the Bible, right out of the Bible, that exemplary, top-notch giving, still looking cool? Yeah. Yeah. Consider this recommendation, Mark 12:41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Wow, right? Wow. That's looking cool. Okay, so what if I just don't feel like it? What if I just don't feel like it? I've been through enough. I don't want to do it. I understand that thinking. Truly, I do. I've been there many times, and I'm sure I'll be there again. Sometimes I get sick of it all. I get so sick of it all. It might be easier just to quit trying. Even though I know I've been given so much, but there's just not enough left of me. I can't get it right. I'm burned, I'm bruised, I'm hurt, I'm broken. I simply want to cut and run. I get it. I get it. As I stand here teaching on this microphone, I get it. I get it. That's different than arrogance. Yeah, you can be just as goofy in arrogance and above it all, but this isn't arrogance. This is when your heart is breaking. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Those times, seasons, if you will, where I just don't feel like I can make it. I just can't make it to the runway, so to speak. I just can't make it. I'm going to crash. I know I'm going to fail. I know it. Please hear me, kids. When those moments come, and they will, know this. When those moments come, and they will, know this. God has not forgotten you. He's with you and me. And the struggle will teach you and make you better. It will. It doesn't seem like it now, but it will. You got to get some rest, get some food, fly the airplane, so to speak. Get some rest, get some food, and fly the airplane. You're going to make the runway. He is with you. Psalm 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." I got to change my mind sometimes. Ask him in prayer to find me another way to help. Show me again how to be obedient. Redirect my thinking. Help me. Can you imagine what everybody's like out there that doesn't believe in God? When they get like that, there is nobody to call. Ghostbusters? Who are you going to call? For the world that gets befuddled and disrespected, hurt, disappointed, who do they call if there is no God? If you don't believe in God, you believe in God, and he is with you. Proverbs 11:24. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Do you know what that says? That says if you're stingy, you're always going to want for more. If you save all your money and you're stingy and you hold it all in, you're still going to want for more. The one who scatters it increases all the more. Prospers. The guy who waters will be watered himself. Are there those people who quit? Yeah, they quit. Don't be one of them. They quit. It's not good. There are those who quit, and it is unfortunate. I met a man whose life was in shambles. No, I'm not talking about you. I met a man who was in shambles. And I talked with both he and his wife. We forged a relationship, brought his company back in order, found a job for his unemployable child that would last her for years. I walked alongside of him, and as his faith was restored in God, the whole family went back to church. In a very short time, what was so much gratitude and love for what God had done turned back for the worst. The relationship turned back for the worst. Why? Money. Money. Money began to have it. Money. Lives were restored, and then the sickening hand of bad attitude and judgment was restored as well. Be careful of that. The devil is trying to water just as many bad habits as God is trying to water just as many good habits. Well, God wins if you say okay. The very same attitude that cost them dearly in the first place, they employed it again. It's very sad. It's very sad. Very sad. What happens after that? Well, slowly but surely, things go back to the way they were. Sad. Every pastor has learned to help those in need. Every pastor knows what I'm talking about right now. Often those people who are so grateful for the help at the beginning, as things get better, they turn their back on the very concepts that put their lives back in order. Every pastor knows what I'm talking about. Every pastor. That's my guy in the water, praying for help in the water. The closer he gets to the beach, the busier he gets with what he wants to do instead of remembering what he promised God. It's for us to pray for those people, for yourself, that you don't go back. Turn it over to God, and I have learned it is honorable for my heart to break. When I see this happen, it's honorable for my heart to break. I see them turn their ship back right back into the Black Forest. I can't do anything. I have to pray. Can you imagine how many people take from God? Through a pastor's loving direction, they are restored and begin to live again, only to turn on the church and walk away. Marriages are in the balance, businesses, and sometimes with children, lives are at stake. People forget. They forget. Proverbs 26:11, it's frightening, like a dog that returns to its vomit. So is a fool who repeats his foolishness. Oh, is that stuff hard or what? Everybody tells me that doesn't want to do it. I'm sick and tired of that fire and brimstone stuff. Too bad. Be glad that you're hearing about fire and brimstone, because the choice is very simple. Peace of mind in God or not. It's simple, but it's so hard, isn't it? You guys have been given so much. I have been given so much. If you really want to test yourself in the art of the blessing, how you give of yourself, if you really want to test yourself, watch how you act when people do things you don't like. Oh, watch how that one goes. See what you look like in the mirror when somebody does things you don't like, or when your grown kids want you to co-sign things that are not correct, and you just want to want them to love you, so you kind of go along with it. You just want them to love you. Yeah, think about that. How do you continue to do the Lord's work when someone angers you or they embarrass you with the truth? Whoa, how dare you? Are we such goofy people? We are. But God loves us, and in our goofy, we can help each other. How elegant are you when you decline to engage in bad behavior? How elegant can you be when you say, I'm just not going to do it? I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not lying anymore. I'm not cheating anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. And on top of everything else, you're tasked to redirect disobedience in yourself and others. You're a CEO of a company. He gave you the chair, man. You're in charge. You're in charge of hundreds of thousands of dollars all the time. And now you got to redirect people in disobedience? You got to redirect yourself? Wow. And be gracious about it. Especially when they're mouthing off at you. What? I ask you again. Is it about the money? I ask you again. Is it about the money? These things happen in life, in the church, in your family, in your business. People talking. Not doing what they're supposed to do. As I've said before, everything is everything. It would seem it's about everything. Is it about the money? It seems it's about everything. It's about obedience. Options get me into trouble. Life is not about options. Everything is everything. Life is not about options. It's about obedience. Options get me into trouble. They get me into trouble. For all that he has given me, how do I use it for kingdom work? That's the question. How do I use it for kingdom work? How do I use my business? How do I use my gifts, my house, the talents that he's given me? How do I use that for kingdom work? That's the question. That's an honorable daily prayer. What do I do? That's an honorable daily prayer. Oh, yes, my friends. Here's a quote by me. Oh, yes, my friends. With God, there comes great responsibility. And that responsibility there comes great personal testing. Oh, yeah, my friends. God comes with great responsibility and great personal testing. Responsibility. With responsibility, there comes great personal testing. And where does responsibility come from? God. All knowledge, all wisdom, all of it. Love, all of it. It comes from God, and it's hard, but it's a lot easier than doing it without God, isn't it? You remember when you did it without God? Everybody thought you were great, but you couldn't keep two nickels. You couldn't put two nickels together and keep it. How many of you on the phone? Hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars went through your fingers. Where is it? Without God, you can't keep a line on anything important. You are only important. I am only important because God wills that for today. God gives us that for today to use for kingdom glory. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. What's the crown of life? Come on, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Look it up. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? This is a tough one, man. Chapter 29, The Art of Giving. You've been given so much, kids. Look for, pray for, be excited for any opportunity to serve the Lord, no matter how small or how great. Chapter 29, The Art of Giving. The Art of Giving. A quote from the author. Paint a picture with the hand of God. Title it, Colors in My Life, Riding with the King. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Well, maybe not. But make sure it is for you. Make sure it is for you. Amen, amen. John, let's get these people back to work. What do you say? We got stuff to do, don't we?